Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Pam Bondi is going to go in there and kick some weaponized Department of Justice ass. I can't wait. I'm excited for it. It's going to be great. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. That means a donkey, by the way. Democrats, donkey. That's the A word I was referring to, in case you're wondering. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I'm very happy about what Pam Bondi had to say today about ending the weaponization of government. I'm also very happy that Senator Dave McCormick is going to join us at 5:15 today to talk about President Trump's nominees. And I'm also super excited about the fact that winter... yeah, it stinks, but you have a wonderful place to go with your family to get away, and that is the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where they have a heated indoor saltwater pool, hot tub, restaurant right on site, and beautiful accommodations with amazing specials during the wintertime. So get away and go to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, grandhotelcapemay.com, my happy place. Let's play some audio, shall we? This is now, Pam Bondi today in front of the United States Senate Committee. Her opening statement, which makes me very happy. It's a little bit long, but I want you to hear this. This is an incredibly crucial role, Attorney General of the United States of America. Given everything that we have talked about with Merrick Garland and the weaponization of this Department of Justice, the FBI, and everything else, this has never been a more important time for an AG, honestly, than right now at this moment. Right now at this moment in time. And it's not even as if the Attorney General has to worry about going after the mafia. Not that the mafia ever existed, obviously, but you know, the mafia or drug cartels. This job right now is about undoing how they've taken the Department of Justice and turned it into the equivalent of the Stasi. When I was in college, I learned about the definition of a police state. I've told you this before. It's not cops on horseback. It's not cops using tear gas. Those are methods, crowd control methods. It's not even a cop who uses a phone book during an interrogation, if you know what I mean. No. A police state is when the government uses its law enforcement powers for political purposes. That's what we have in this country. That's what Pam Bondi needs to change. Cut number 8.
Attorney General of the United States, my overriding objective will be to return the Department of Justice to its core mission of keeping Americans safe and vigorously prosecuting criminals. And that includes getting back to basics, gangs, drugs, terrorists, cartels, our border, and our foreign adversaries. That is what the American people expect, and that is what they deserve from the Department of Justice. If confirmed, I will do everything in my power, and it will be my great responsibility to make America safe again.
You know, part of that is making America safe from our government. Think about that. Ending the weaponization of government. Cut number 9.
We have seen over the last few years the weaponization of government, specifically with the Department of Justice, against law-abiding Americans.
Senator Mike.
Law-abiding Americans whose offense was something along the lines of, you know, them exercising their constitutional rights, ranging from Catholics attempting to practice their faith to parents showing up to school board meetings to people showing up to engage in peaceful protesting outside of abortion clinics. As Attorney General, how will you prevent the weaponization of the Department of Justice against Americans?
And Senator, you just gave the classic example of what's been happening regarding the weaponization. Going after parents at a school board meeting has got to stop. For practicing your religion, sending informants in to Catholic churches must stop.
What about branding parents as domestic terrorists or trying to incarcerate one's political opponent as a sitting president of the United States?
Will stop. Must stop.
Bravo. Bravo. Senator Mike Lee, of course, one of my favorite senators. Absolutely great guy. And he talked about criminal justice reform with Pam Bondi as well. Now, one of the people I think is an absolute idiot moron is Sheldon Whitehouse. Now, the question I have, first of all, is who does he sound like? Well, I know Matt DeSantis, we've had this conversation before on the show, and I think we've had a couple people come up with some ideas. So what we'll do is during the YouTube chat, if you could weigh in, tell me who you think Sheldon Whitehouse sounds like. All right. This is him. Absolute moron. Mental midget. Can't compete with Pam Bondi. Cut number 10.
It would not be appropriate for a prosecutor to start with a name and look for a crime. It's a prosecutor's job to start with a crime and look for a name, correct?
Senator, I think that is the whole problem with the weaponization that we have seen the last 4 years and what's been happening to Donald Trump. They targeted Donald Trump. They went after him. Actually, starting back in 2016, they targeted his campaign. They have launched countless investigations against him. That will not be the case if I am Attorney General. I will not politicize that office. I will not target people simply because of their political affiliation. Justice will be administered even-handedly throughout this country.
Why would Democrats not cheer for that? Think about it. Right? I mean, the Democrats on that committee, Pam Bondi should be approved unanimously. Like, who could be against that? Only if you're a tyrant would you be against that because you want the government to be able to intimidate the citizens because you think the citizens are all morons and you want to be able to do whatever the hell you want. How could you be against what she just said? How could anybody who cares about liberty be against what Pam Bondi just said there? Any Democrat that votes against her is somebody who wants to see the government have all kinds of ways to intimidate, yes, parents at school board meetings who don't get in line and sit down and shut up. That's what it comes down to. Here's another genius. This is the dumbest United States senator, not on the mainland. That goes to Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut. This is Mazie Hirono of Hawaii, cut number 11.
As part of my responsibility to ensure the fitness of all nominees, I ask the following two initial questions. First, since you became a legal adult, have you ever made unwanted requests for sexual favors or committed any verbal or physical harassment or assault of a sexual nature?
No, Senator.
Have you ever faced discipline or entered into a settlement relating to this kind of conduct?
No, Senator.
Kind of question is that from that dope Mazie? What is she talking about? Of course, if she had met with Pam Bondi and actually took the time to meet with her, maybe they could have talked about this then. Cut 12.
That you, as Attorney General, should investigate one of his perceived political enemies. Would you do so?
Senator Hirono, I wish you had met with me. Had you met with me, we could have discussed many things and gotten to know.
I am listening to you now. Could you respond to the question?
Yeah, you were the only one who refused to meet with me, Senator. But what we would have discussed is that it is the job of the Attorney General to
follow the law. I'm very happy to listen to your responses under oath, Ms. Bondi. So I think it's really important to us that the Attorney General be independent of the White House. And you have a president-elect who considers the AG's office his law firm. I would like to know whether if the president suggests, hints, asks that you as Attorney General should investigate one of his perceived enemies.
Senator, I certainly have not heard the president say that. But what I will tell you is two-thirds of Americans have lost faith in the Department of Justice. And it's statements like that, I believe, that make people continue to lose faith. If I am confirmed as Attorney General, it will be my job
getting
to not
to
only
my next
keep
question,
Americans
you're not
safe,
responding.
But restore integrity to that department.
Why don't we
and that's
move
what
on
I
to
plan
something
on
that
doing
you said.
Every single day as Attorney General.
On August 25th, 2025.
See, they can't stand the fact that Pam Bondi wants to end the weaponization of government. Every Democrat should support her 100%. Every single one of them should back her. There should not be a single vote against her. But you know what? I'm very, very proud to welcome to the show. For the first time, I can say this, Senator Dave McCormick. Senator, how are you, my friend?
All right. I'm great, Rich. Good to be with you, my friend, and thank you for having me on the show so many times during the campaign, and I'm glad to be back as the senator.
After all these years, it's so great to say senator. I love it. I'm so excited. I got a big smile on my face right now on our YouTube stream, and it was great seeing you and Dina in D.C., and thank you again for the honor of inviting me to your swearing-in ceremony. It was a phenomenal day, and I got to see you while you were still senator-elect, and then I got to see you when you were a senator, so that was really, really cool, and I can tell you're already having fun because you're making news today during these Senate confirmation hearings with Senator Rubio and a number of other nominees today of President Trump. So, first of all, how does it feel to be in the position right now of doing your job as the United States Senator to advise and consent?
It's been a great first week. You know, we're now just kicking off the second week. And, you know, the whole promise of my campaign was shaking up Washington for the people of Pennsylvania. So I cast my first vote on the border and immigration legislation last week with the Lake and Riley Act. I went to the farm show. We've opened 7 district offices by this Friday. You know, I've gone over to the House side and visited most of the members of our delegation, and I'm fired up. And as you said, I had 2 opportunities today to be part of the hearings. I'm on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, so that hearing for Chris Wright is Secretary of Energy. That you know, that's a critical issue for Pennsylvania. So we had a chance to talk about that. I also had a chance to ask some questions to Senator Rubio because I'm a member of the Foreign Relations Committee. And listen, here's the way I see this, Rich. My job is to deliver on the promises that I made to Pennsylvania and to help President Trump deliver. And he promised change. He promised disruption. And he's got a number of great nominees that I think are going to really change things and shake things up. And so my job is to help him get the team he needs. I also have responsibility to advise and consent, as we talked about. And I take that very seriously. I promise the people of Pennsylvania I do that. And what that means is I meet with every nominee. I listen carefully to the hearings. I form my own judgments. But my goal here is to make sure President Trump has what he needs to be successful.
Let's talk about energy for a second. Obviously, you are the United States Senator for Pennsylvania. Fracking is key to our economy. It's key to our future. It's key to America's energy independence. It is vital. And thank God President Trump won, because otherwise the Democrats would have continued their war against oil and natural gas. Are you satisfied that the new Secretary of Energy will be an advocate for Pennsylvania?
No doubt about it. You know, I told him today, we met, you know, we have a common friend where one of his best friends in the world was my commander in Iraq for a year. So we know each other well and through him. And this is a guy who is a scientist. He's an entrepreneur. He's someone who has really been at the forefront of innovation for fossil fuels development. And I'm very confident. We talked today in the hearing about the need for an offshore LNG platform off the coast of Philadelphia, as you and I have talked about. We talked about pipelining permitting reform. We talked about, you know, nuclear energy and the recent deal with Three Mile Island and Microsoft. And basically, the thing I keep reinforcing, Rich, is with the AI and big data, the key to taking advantage of that huge growth in energy demand is to get those AI platforms to come to Pennsylvania and invest. Creates great new jobs for Pennsylvanians, a great market for our energy, and I'm quite confident Secretary Wright, once he's confirmed, will be a great partner for me, as will Doug Burgum, who's going to be the Interior Secretary. I know him well. I met with him. And he and I and President Trump have all talked about making Pennsylvania really part of the forefront of where we need to go in terms of energy dominance.
You know, if you are able to help achieve a liquid natural gas export facility in Pennsylvania, basically, you know, very close to Philadelphia, for example, right by where I'm broadcasting, that would be such a great thing, not only for Pennsylvania, but for the United States of America, really for the world, too, because then they wouldn't have to be reliant on people like Vladimir Putin for their natural gas. That would be one of the most consequential things you can do as a senator.
And listen, if you look at a map of the United States, you'll see these huge number of offshore facilities on the Gulf Coast, Mexico, Texas, Louisiana, and you see very little in the Northeast. And so the problem is we can't get our natural gas exported to our allies in Europe. We can't get it to global markets. And here's what happens. You know, we have tankers sitting right now in Boston Harbor that are giving fuel and oil, less clean versions of our natural gas, which is much cleaner than most of those other sources of energy, to the homeowners in Massachusetts. It's absolute madness. We need to have pipeline permitting reform that gets our natural gas around the Northeast, and we need to have an offshore facility that can export it to our allies. And that's going to be at the top of the list for me as I focus on energy issues on the Energy Committee, which I asked for the Energy Committee because I wanted to be focused on one of the many things I talked about in my campaign.
Well, Senator, you're off to a great start on that front. I'm very, very excited to hear that. You served our country, 82nd Airborne Division. You're a graduate of West Point. You are somebody who understands America's role in the world. Were you satisfied today with what you heard from Senator Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State designate?
I was. Yeah, I know him well. He came to Pennsylvania a couple times during the campaign. I'm very familiar with his views. I think he recognizes the primary threat's China. I think he's got a strong view of American power and the need to advance America's interest, and that foreign policy is really, you know, a representation of America's interest around the world. That's the foreign policy I think he'll advance under President Trump's leadership, and I think he's going to be a great Secretary of State, and I look forward to working with him. I feel the same about Chris Wright, who I think is going to be an excellent energy secretary. And frankly, I feel the same in terms of my support for Pete Hegseth. You know, I'm not on the Armed Services Committee, but I met with Pete. I listened very carefully this morning to the clips from his hearing. And my view, as I said, is that we need to give President Trump the team he needs to succeed. And listen, you know, Pete is a non-traditional candidate. This is not an establishment candidate, but we've had lots of establishment candidates, including our current Secretary of Defense, who is a retired four-star general, and I think he's failed. And so I think it's time to think outside the box, and I think President Trump is looking for somebody who can be a disruptor, and as a combat vet, I admire Pete's willingness to put his life on the line as a combat vet from Afghanistan and Iraq, a volunteer. I think he's someone who's going to be a warfighter secretary. He's going to be supporting the men and women in our armed services on the front line. And I think with President Trump's help, he's going to be able to assemble a team that's going to be able to manage the complexity of what's probably the most complex organization in the world at a time when it needs transformation. So I will be a positive vote for Pete Hegseth as well.
That's great. I mean, as a combat veteran yourself, being an advocate for him, you're a warrior, he's a warrior, and he's an advocate for warriors, and that's exactly what we need. And I thought some of the behavior by some of the Democrats on that committee the other day was abhorrent, the way that they acted. A lot of histrionics, a lot of theater, completely unnecessary. But the key here with Pete Hegseth is he's not there to do the bidding of the military-industrial complex, and he's there to fulfill the agenda of the commander-in-chief. And I think it's exactly what we need in that role.
Yeah, I agree with you. And listen, I just went through a year long campaign where there was hundreds of millions of dollars of attack ads leveled against me. Mm-hmm. So I think when you see these smear campaigns, you have to sort of stay focused on what are the facts you know, not anonymous sources, but what are the facts being brought to bear here? And I think the things we know for sure is that Pete served his country admirably twice, that he's thought long and hard about culture and the need to have a culture of lethality for the warfighter in our military. And so, as I said, I want to help President Trump have the team he needs, and for that reason, I'll support Pete.
Senator Dave McCormick's with me. It's great to have him on the show. His first time as United States Senator Dave McCormick for Pennsylvania. Pam Bondi, I was really impressed with her today during the confirmation hearing. I loved how she talked about ending the weaponization of government. I think she'll do an incredible job as Attorney General. What do you think, Senator?
Yeah, you know, listen, I know Pam. I'm a huge fan of hers. I haven't sat down and had my meeting with her yet, and I haven't reviewed the hearing, although I did hear secondhand that she did an extremely good job. So I think she'll be a very strong Attorney General. I'm going to, as I said, I'll do my homework as I always do for every candidate, but I think the president made a good pick there.
Are there any issues as far as you're concerned as we look towards this deal now with Hamas and Israel, this ceasefire deal, which I 100% believe is because President Trump said 6 days ago at Mar-a-Lago, if the hostages are not released, there will be hell to pay in the Middle East. What are your I think Biden coming out and trying to take credit for that today is an absolute joke, Senator. What do you think?
Well, you know, listen, I've been in hearings all day, so I haven't looked at the details of the deal, but I do believe that President Trump's strong statement has brought action and activity. I think he's carrying a big stick these days, and I think people around the world are responding to him. It's not just with Hamas, but it's around the world. So I'm sure that his leadership had something to do with this. And listen, I've said from the very beginning, if there's going to be any ceasefire, it has to involve releasing the hostages. I met with hostage families as recently as this week. My wife and I live in Squirrel Hill in Pittsburgh, and we go to, when we're in town, a weekly vigil talking about bringing the hostages home in our community. This is just a horrific, terrible tragedy that happened October 7th, and the continuing to have hostages, both Israeli hostages and Israeli-American hostages, is an absolute disgrace. And so I'm happy that there appears to have been a breakthrough. I don't know the specifics yet, but no ceasefire can hold unless all of our hostages come home. And I actually talked to Senator Rubio about that today in my hearing. And we both agree on that there's no sustainable ceasefire as long as there are hostages being held. And so hopefully this deal will result in all of our hostages coming home.
Senator McCormick, I saw that you were talking with your colleague, Senator John Fetterman, and I got to give you both credit for reaching across the aisle to do what's best for Pennsylvania. You talked about that with him. And look, you guys agree on a lot of things, including the need to secure our border.
Yeah, you know, listen, politics is a contact sport, as you know, and, I got hit a lot during the campaign, but even during the campaign, I said, you know, listen, that some of the things Senator Fetterman says, I'm sure we disagree on a lot, but I'm sure there's some things we agree on, including anti-Semitism and Israel and some of the things he said on the border. And he and I had a chance to get together for dinner with our spouses, And I, you know, honestly, I'm optimistic. I like him. He's a very forthright, straightforward, common sense guy, and that's what I like to believe I am. And so I think we're going to find ways to work together. The thing that he talks about most is how we do great things for Pennsylvanians, all Pennsylvanians, even the ones who aren't on his side. And that's what I talk about. And we're both focused on jobs, great paying jobs for Pennsylvanians. So I'm hopeful. I'm sure there'll be things we disagree on, but I think that's someone I can work with, and I look forward to it.
Last question, Senator, because I know you got to get back to it. As you look towards President Trump's cabinet, the disruptors, and Trump being the ultimate disruptor himself, and you're a disruptor. I mean, you want to disrupt the way things are. Reforming this government and returning the power back to the people is job number one, as President Trump has said all the time, and ensuring that America first really is the agenda here to start. Day one, Monday, the president's inaugurated, and you guys get right to work. What's going to happen on day one? Talk to us about it.
Well, listen, I haven't seen all the things that are going to happen, but I have had a chance to listen to the president. The president came over to the Senate and visited with us, and we talked about it, and I've had a chance to meet with some of his team. I mean, he's going to have a flurry of executive orders that are going to be focused on delivering on the promises. And the thing I really loved about his campaign, and I think my campaign was similar, is he was very specific about what he was going to do. Very specific. And I've tried to be very specific. And so I think you're going to see a lot of action on the border. I think you're going to see a lot of action on energy. I think you're going to see a lot of action where executive orders are appropriate for dealing with some of the DEI sort of infiltration and hijacking of our institutions. So I think you're going to see a very broad, aggressive executive pushing on all the promises he made, which resulted in a huge victory and a mandate for change. And you know, there'll be a lot of other things that we'll try to do through the reconciliation process in the Senate. And then beyond that, there'll be legislation beyond reconciliation that'll continue to try to drive this change agenda. And you know, I got a list with my team right here today in the Senate of all the things I talked about, all the things I promised, and I'm keeping track. And I'm sure the voters will keep track, and they should. What did I say I'm going to do, and am I doing it? And am I busting my pick on everything I need to make sure that we bring change to the people of Pennsylvania? And so I think the inauguration is going to be a great day. I'm looking forward to it, and I think we'll even start to vote on nominees possibly and on some legislation even later that day after the president's sworn in. And I'm excited to be part of it. Honored to be part of it, I guess, is a better way to say it.
Well, we're honored you took the time to call into the show today. Senator Dave McCormick, keep up the good work, my friend. You're off to a great start. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. I look forward to being on again. And thanks, Rich, and wishing you and your family all the best.
Take care.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
I still remember the first time that Jared Kushner actually introduced me and Dina and Dave, introduced me to Dina and Dave, and we talked about his campaign years ago. And now to see him in the Senate, it's very, very cool. All right, so we got to take a quick break, but coming up, New Jersey Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia. Phil Murphy, the king, his royal rugness, wants to ban cell phones in schools. Is this a good idea? We're going to talk about that. We'll have that conversation as well. Plus, more on Pam Bondi's confirmation hearing today and more meltdowns from Democrats on the left. But I want to tell you about my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding, as they do phenomenal work. I'm so proud of the work they do. Matt and Stephanie are great friends, and they're going to make sure that your home looks great. And 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. That's right. 10% off roofing. And listen, if you need a new roof, you're going to get the lifetime warranty, the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. Anderson Windows, doors, and so much more. They even have a bathroom division. And yes, Emmons remodeled my bathroom in our old house. So what are you waiting for? Matt and Stephanie are going to do great work for you. The entire team at Emmons, and they serve our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Just reach out to them today at emmonsroofing.com. You know, in our old house, they did the roof. They did such a great job. They still replaced the windows. They replaced our doors. The new house, they replaced our skylights. And they put in a new kitchen door for us, and it looks great. You'll love the way it looks from the curb, your home. You'll love the increased insulation, energy value, and also, as well, your home value, too. So trust the team that I trust, EmmonsRoofing.com. 10% off inflation relief discount, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Speaking of Jimmy Failla, by the way, I will be on his show Saturday night, Fox Across America, 10 p.m. on Fox News Channel, live studio audience. So make sure you tune in or set your DVR. And of course, catch Failla's radio show tonight at 7 p.m. Let's switch gears for a moment and talk about New Jersey. You peasants out there, the king, his royal rugness, King Philip the Unaccountable, wants to do something with regards to your kids and cell phones in schools. Here to talk about this and other issues with me is my friend, Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia. She's up in North Jersey, and she's a fighter. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hi, Rich. How are you?
Doing okay. Taking it one day at a time. You know, Dawn, staying off my feet. No dancing.
I can imagine.
Like I said to you in my text message, I do put my foot in my mouth a lot, so that is a problem, you know, but other than that. The State of the State address yesterday by the King, King Murphy, give us your thoughts.
Well, it was as to be expected. You know, we were expecting much more of the same. It's, you know, it's been years and years of touting achievements that are hardly achievements. It's gaslighting. I mean, boasting about fully funding a school formula. That's the Corzine era school funding formula that's deeply flawed. You know, we've seen school districts raise their local tax levy 9.9% just in order to not have severe layoffs and not have transportation. And, you know, for the governor to stand with this big grin and say, I fully funded schools and, oh, clap, clap, clap. It was honestly, I had secondhand embarrassment because I'm looking around. I looked over at Assemblyman Alex Sawicki, who represents Jackson, and Jackson got hit probably the hardest in the state that I can imagine next to East Orange, who just laid off 60 teachers mid-year. And the audacity, I said, audacity must have been on sale yesterday because there was a lot of it in that room.
It's obvious Murphy wants to run for president, no doubt about that. He's got his eyes set on that. He's just thinking entirely about his future, not New Jersey's future, no doubt about it. His proposal to ban cell phones in schools, Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia, obviously somebody who works in that area and is also a parent and a person who advocates for parental rights in education. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, as a classroom teacher, you know, earlier in, you know, earlier days, smartphones weren't a thing. So this wasn't an issue. And as smartphones became a thing and parents started buying their kids these smartphones with the camera capabilities and instant access to the internet, lots of problems happened. Lots of problems happened. I mean, going down to, you know, filming, you know, students in the restroom, for instance, filming altercations, you know, outside of the school building at dismissal. There's a lot of distractions that go on with it. So, you know, I think there's a balance. I think a lot of schools are already doing what basically this bill suggests. It is a bipartisan bill, and it's saying that during instructional time, the phone should not be out and being used. And I know the district where I worked and where I was a school principal, that was our rule. You could either leave the phone in your locker, or if you weren't comfortable with that, you could keep it on you, but it had to be off during instructional hours. Use it before school and after school, because we have to keep in mind, you know, we have a lot of school districts, for instance, where students might be taking public transportation or in walking, you know, districts, and parents want that comfort of knowing that their kids have access to a phone in case of an emergency. And, you know, you might say, well, when we were kids, we didn't have that. It's also a bit of a different world now. So I feel, you know, I feel that it's smart to say that during instructional time, cell phones should not be used, you know, by the students in the classroom. They're a major distraction. They're a problem. But I would not go as far as to say they're banned from being in the building or we should somehow lock them away from students for the entirety of the day. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with you on the balance part of it, too. Somebody else made a really good point today, which is if the teachers union wants this, there's got to be a reason for it. And a lot of the times it's because students might expose the indoctrination, which they don't want us to see. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why we have to handle this delicately, I think.
Well, that's problematic as well. I mean, you definitely have circumstances where, you know, the adults were made aware, parents were made aware, administrators were made aware of things that were maybe happening in a classroom that should not have been happening. So, you know, that's either student behavior or teacher behavior. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a sticky wicket. And, you know, I understand the kind of need to balance the emergency aspect of it with not. But, you know, what's always amazing to me is how we seem to always say, you know, we don't believe anything if it wasn't on video. You know, I think about being a school administrator and, you know, you call someone and say, you know, your child ABCD, and they say, well, show me the video. Well, there's not a video everywhere. There's not a video in the bathroom. There's not a video in a classroom. And I feel like we're so, you know, tied to that concept that there has to be a video. And I really, truly miss the days when, you know, a student would come and report something and you'd investigate it. And we didn't always go to the videotape. And I think that's a societal issue as well.
You were on the show a lot with me in, it seems like a million years ago now, talking about UFOs. And then one day it just stopped. The whole story just kind of went away. And I don't know, did I go into a coma or something? Did we ever figure this out? What's going on with all that?
We 100% didn't figure it out. And there's like a low rumble up here. People are very, very angry still. And what kind of gave people a bit of comfort is when President Trump made his statement recently where he was giving a speech or giving an interview or whatnot at a press conference. And he was asked about this. And he said, you know, on day one, I'm going to give an update as to what was happening here because you have not been told. So that kind of just, I guess everyone's kind of in a holding pattern. I'm still getting videos constantly. I'm getting messages daily. Just today when I was at work, a gentleman who I work with who lives out towards the Poconos in Pennsylvania said to me, you know, last night I was outside with my wife and one was like very, very low. He said it's the lowest one that I've ever seen. So they haven't gone away. What the federal government has done is it's really dissuaded the public from even calling in and reporting them. It's almost like fatigue because we're just told, you know, it's a bird. Or whatever the heck Mayorkas right. might say, you know? So I really think we were disillusioned in reporting because the more we report, absolutely nothing happened. So January 20th cannot get here soon enough for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, as a conservative, as somebody who loves liberty and is in New Jersey and represents the 24th legislative district in the state assembly, you got to be excited for President Trump coming into office on Monday. And I think there's a lot of good things. On day one, I hope he kills those friggin' offshore windmills. I hope that's one of the first things he does, because they are an absolute they're destructive to the whales and the dolphins, to the Jersey Shore, which is vital to our state's economy, and everybody hates them. And again, this is another thing that Murphy just tried to shove in everybody's faces without going through any home rule whatsoever. In fact, he just destroyed the concept of it in the meantime. I hope President Trump does that. I think he will right away.
Absolutely. I think New Jersey is banking on it. You know, it's been a problem now for more than a year with this offshore wind. And, you know, people, the environmentalists never take into consideration what it takes to actually build those, construct those, the materials that they're made of. I mean, the carbon footprint of them alone. So it's really a cognitive dissonance, right? Where, you know, on one side it's this, on one side it's the other. And we're all left scratching our heads saying, who thought this was a good idea? But, you know, Richie just said he wasn't, you know, so concerned about home rule. Has that ever been a priority? I mean, look at affordable housing. Look at anything. Yep. You know, yeah, I mean, it's outrageous.
No, I mean, where I am in South Jersey, they're trying to shove more affordable housing into these towns. And it's so infuriating for us because we already feel like we're busting at the seams as it is. And this is another thing they keep trying to shove in.
Rich, they also don't take into consideration the Highlands Act and what our restrictions might be. And, you know, Senator Bucco yesterday made a very good point. I think he was on one of the news stations being interviewed following the address. And, you know, his whole point was, why is the state not taking into consideration what if there is an adequate water supply? You know, what if infrastructure alone, like who's paying for that? Like, I don't think that this administration has seen an unfunded mandate they don't have a love affair with. Yeah. And this is just going to be a perpetual court, you know, revolving door as these towns continue to fight back and punch back because these things don't fund themselves. You can't just, you know, erect these buildings in places that don't have an adequate water supply to start.
Last question for you, Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia, and I appreciate your time. Congestion pricing, it hasn't been a big story down here because most people commute to Philly, not New York. But you know, look, I'm going into New York Saturday night to do Jimmy Fallon's show. A lot of people are going into the city and enjoy all this. This congestion pricing is insane. It really is.
And if you look at the start of congestion pricing, you know, that area looked like a ghost town. It certainly did, and I was surprised at that. But, you know, if the goal is to push people towards using more public transportation, Kathy Hochul, she doesn't have the formula. Because let me tell you, that subway has never been more out of control and dangerous. So honestly, they're either going to choke you out in your wallet or they'll choke you out literally underground. So it's what a mess. What a mess they've created with that.
Yeah, they really have. And it is incredibly dangerous, the subway, no doubt about it. All right, Dawn, I appreciate your time today. Follow Assemblywoman Fantasia on X at @DawnFantasia_New Jersey. Keep up the good work, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rich. Have a good night.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez freaked out over the ban on biological dudes competing against women in sports. We're getting into that. We still have a ton of stuff. We've like barely scratched the surface here. In fact, Matt DeSantis, why don't we play that clip, shall we? Because I can't get enough of her. I really can't. AOC, and she's going to be off the charts crazy in the next 4 years, don't you think? I mean, if there's something we can bet on, it's that she's going to be off the charts loco.
She's already off the charts crazy now.
Yeah. Yeah. And she is going to be, because she wants to run for president. So she gets press and she's, some people find her attractive. I happen to think she has horse teeth. That's me. You know, remember when she said that she was worried on January 6th that she was going to get raped? Do you remember that whole thing that she said?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, she was worried that the Trump supporters were going to find her and rape her. That was her big fear. I just kept thinking to myself, like, can you be more friggin' dramatic? Like, honestly, can you be more dramatic? But here she is today proving that she can be. Cut number 20.
Here we are today. Republicans who have voted consistently against the Violence Against Women Act, who have taken away the right of all women to choose and have control over their own body, who, as women are bleeding out in parking lots across the country, standing there, allowing us to die, now want to pretend today that they care about women. And why? To open up gender and, yes, genital examinations into little girls in this country in the so-called name of attacking trans girls. And to that, today, what we have to say are two words: not today. The majority right now says there's no place in this bill that says it opens up for genital examinations. Well, here's the thing. There's no enforcement mechanism in this bill. And when there is no enforcement mechanism, you open the door to every enforcement mechanism. Trans girls are girls.
Genital examinations. Genital examinations. She's an idiot. She's an idiot. No one is talking about doing genital examinations because you don't need to. You don't have to examine Will Thomas's package to know that Will Thomas has a penis. You, right? I mean, just look at the dude. Leah, I don't need to examine the twig and berries. They're there. You can see them. Nobody's being fooled here, right? You got an Adam's apple. Like, I don't. How about an Adam's apple examination instead of genital examination? Would she be okay with that? I'm just curious. I don't know. Just saying. Pam Bondi today crushing it again when she was asked about the corruption of the Department of Justice. Oh, wait, what'd you want to say? Yes, it passed with bipartisan support. Thank you.
Yeah, it wasn't just Republicans, as she was saying.
It was bipartisan to keep biological dudes, bio dudes, out of women's sports and out of women's locker rooms. So there you go. Supreme Court seems ready to back Texas law limiting access to pornography. The law meant to shield minors requires adults to prove they are 18. I have a problem with that. I really do. But this article says that Samuel Alito was incredulous. Do you know a lot of parents who are more tech savvy than their 15-year-old children? There's a huge volume of evidence that filtering doesn't work. Yeah, I mean, that's the, I don't know. I hope these justices think about ending the anonymity online. It's a big problem. We'll have to talk more about that. Let me play this Pam Bondi clip before I go to break. Let me start our fourth and final hour because this is good stuff here. I just lost it. It's the end one. Oh, yeah. Cut 27. She was asked about prosecuting corrupt DOJ lawyers and then gave a masterclass in Biden's corruption. Cut 27.
You have said that.
This is Sheldon Whitehouse. Now stop it. Who does he sound like? What do people in the YouTube chat say? Have you guys looked at it? Does he sound like that put a mob, the pussycat? What was his name?
Sylvester.
Sylvester the cat, right? That's what he sounds like. I'm not crazy. Justin, can you pull a clip of Sylvester the Cat so we can do a side-by-side comparison of Sheldon Whitehouse and Sylvester the Cat? And I got to know what people in the YouTube chat are saying. Let me go there and take a look here and see what they're saying, if anybody has any thoughts on what he sounds like. Let's keep playing it. Go ahead.
Prosecutors will be prosecuted in the Trump administration. What Department of Justice prosecutors will be prosecuted and why?
I said that on TV. I said prosecutors will be prosecuted to finish the quote, if bad. Investigators
suffer
will be
succotash.
Investigated.
That's right. Chris Eppolito with that. Suffer and succotash. I said put him up. That's the cowardly lion. You're right. That doesn't sound like that. So there you go. Minnie says, I'm kind of crazy when I'm on pain meds. Hey, listen, not for nothing. I'm not even on pain meds. That's right. Yeah, I said it. Suffer and succotash. Justin, you got a little Sylvester the Cat for me?
I do have a little Sylvester the Cat. Here you go.
All right, let's hear it. This is Senator Sylvester the Cat. Go ahead.
I never thought just being a pussycat could get so complicated.
Now, Sheldon Whitehouse, please. Go ahead.
You have said that.
Thank you.
Department.
Thank you. Bingo. I know what Pam Bondi is saying is very important here, and she's making a point about corruption and Department of Justice. I get all that. But I just want everybody to know he sounds like Sylvester the freaking cat. All right? But to me, that's more important. Yes, Johnny Z has sent Sylvester 20 minutes ago. I was talking to United States Senator Dave McCormick, so I'm sorry. I didn't have time to look at you saying he sounded like Sylvester the cat, but I'm giving you the credit now, all right? Suffer and succotash, Pam Bondi. Oh, you're going to go after corrupt? What? There you go. No question about it. Putty tat. Yeah, that's Joe Ricciani says that. Putty tat. But I think somebody else said he sounded like another cartoon character. Didn't we have somebody else offer that up at one point?
I do remember there being a debate, but I remember everyone kind of universally agreeing it was Sylvester the Cat that most embodied Senator Whitehouse.
Somebody at one point had put in another idea, and that was shot down. Kind of like you putting up brioche buns as a superior hamburger.
I've already conceded that the brioche bun was a bad bun to back. Alan Rosen disagreed with me yesterday, I'm willing to concede defeat.
Johnny Z, you got your credit. Stop complaining. What are you going to do? Kick me out of Mulligan's? Not let me go? Enough. Man, I could go for a beer right now in Mulligan's. This dry January stinks. Dry January and being in the hospital is the worst. It's the worst January ever. This stinks this January. Matt DeSantis, I know you're doing dry January, which means no Coca-Cola for you. That's got to be tough on you, right?
That is definitely not true. I had like two Cokes yesterday. I haven't had one yet today. I haven't had my fix quite yet, but I'll definitely be knocking one out before I go to sleep tonight.
Can we go to the Justin cam for a second? Justin, let me ask you.
We can't go to the Justin cam right now. But
all right, no problem. You just, you're a little shy. It's all right. Hey, did Sean get a picture for the President Trump with the Diet Coke? Did we get that?
I think he did.
All right, let's see if we can load that up. My man Sean is in today. By the way, I recognize Sean's a great guy with the kids, and he's doing his coaching. He's changing the lives of the Utes in Philadelphia. Very proud of you, Sean. You're doing great work, buddy, with the Sixers camp that he does. It's great stuff. See if we can put up a picture. I don't know. Maybe he did already. It might be behind.
Yeah, it's up.
Is it up? There it is. That is the – what is this now? This is the ceremonial presidential Diet Coke?
No, it's the first ever presidential commemorative inaugural Diet Coke bottle. It was presented to Donald Trump yesterday by the CEO of Coca-Cola, a hero of mine, James Quincy.
I think that's fantastic.
It's awesome.
That is great stuff. Great stuff. All right, I'll take a quick break. That is the big story brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, who I was just texting with, by the way, because somebody needs a quick appointment with Dr. Mike. And I texted Dr. Mike personally, and he's getting him into his Woodbury office tomorrow. That's the kind of guy he is. He's there for us all the time. VenariaDental.com, VenariaDental.com. Big fourth and final hour straight ahead. Thank you for watching us on YouTube. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.